We're trying to understand on page Samach Hey, we're trying to understand Seif Gimel, and I already made the disclaimer last Erev Shabbos, and I try to remember to make it every time we learn Rav Kook's Torah, is that it's everything's on their Hevsha. It's very hard not just to translate, but it's very hard to capture the essence of what the Tzaddik is saying. In particular, this Torah that we were learning last Erev Shabbos, which, as I was saying over and over last week, really depends on a person being in a certain place and having a certain kind of a sensitivity. And with the disclaimer, there's somebody that, you know, said to me later on in the week, I have no idea what that was about. But I already said that there's a possibility that that's going to happen with any time that we learn Rav Kook, but in particular, this Torah is very hard. We were learning about how there are different ways that one lives as a Jew of Torah mitzvahs. There are two different ways in Yiddishkeit. Obviously, there are madrigas in each one, but there's a person for whom Yiddishkeit is like a shetef, a rushing current of life that comes from the Kedushas HaNeshama. In that rushing current, all of the dinim, all of the halachis, and the menhagim, and all of the hadrachis, and the hanhagis of Klai Yisrael, throughout all the generations with this person, whatever his background is and came to him in his life, how he lives as a Jew, it's all part of that great current, that ocean of Yiddishkeit. It's alive and vibrant. And his Yiddishkeit is Yiddishkeit v'chai b'hem. And it's all like one heftza of me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avodas Hashem. And in that heftza of Avodas Hashem, everything is of great significance. Whether it's a little minig that particular family or community keeps, or it's a big halacha din. Shulchan Aruch from Daraisa, of course, as I mentioned last week, a person has to always be careful to know what the halach is, the chilik, Daraisa Drabbanan, in terms of sveikas and different situations that require a certain type of attention to this mitzvah as opposed to that. We're not going into that. But Bechlal, that way of Yiddishkeit is a Yiddishkeit that's the Etzem Achayim, comes from a place of big emunah, Shatav Achayim that comes from within a person. The other type of Yiddishkeit is Yiddishkeit, Rav Kook borrows from the Navi, the words Yiddishkeit of Tzav Latzav Kavlakov, piece by piece. Each mitzvah is a separate obligation, and he tries to do his best to make his way through this obligation, this day, this time, this Yontiv, this Shabbos, whatever it is. And The person, Baruch Hashem, is careful to observe whatever he's able to. But for this person, the Yiddishkeit is coming from a place of katnas hemunah, of a choppiness, a smallness of faith. And what Rav Kook calls habor mitach tzimtzum hagyoni medudal shetzorach hasechel lamol ad sheimsa leyachas ben ikur miskabel leif lefi hasagoso el estafus erechoikas shal taluchas aprotius. This person has to work very, very hard. In his mind, he's constantly trying to understand, trying to be masig, what is the ikur? What is the main thing in my schedule of Avodas Hashem? What's the tafel? What's secondary importance? And for this person, there's a huge gap between one prat of Yiddishkeit, one detail of Yiddishkeit, and another detail of Yiddishkeit, one halacha, another halacha, one din, another din, and And what's the connection b'chlal takadosh baruch hu? What does this minhag have to do with my avodas Hashem? Since this person's emuna is coming from a place of smallness, of seichel, of intellect, it has that choppiness that comes with that as a result of the gaps between the pieces of understanding. Mashenikain, when the Yiddishkeit comes from godless emuna, from moichin the godless, from a place of the shetef achayim, from that great rushing current of emuna of avodas Hashem, that person, every single little thing in his avodas Hashem, every single thing that he does, every minig, every din, is godless, is great. And therefore, everything is important. Everything is big, as we were talking about last week, that he's not careless with something that, on the hierarchy of halacha and minhagim and so on, seems to be a minor thing. There's no such thing as something minor. Every single thing is part of that connection that he has to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Talmud will nichshal v'nechshal b'darcha chayim, but the person who's amuna is choppy and small. Person for whom every single thing that he does, it's chayiv, it's not chayiv, it's mutter, it's usser, it's potter, and so on. Again, we always have to know those things, but whose entire Yiddishkeit is dependent upon connecting those dots. The Talmud who nichshol v'nechshol b'darcha chayim, he's constantly stumbling. And he's stumbling and draying on the darche chaim leuchal asechel amugbal b'kol chesh b'noisev lahoyir as darko. And as much as he uses his mind, as much as he tries to understand things, the seichel is mugbal. The mind is limited. The mind is finite. And because it's limited, he's making all of these cheshbainas in his Yiddishkeit, and all the cheshbainas and all the seichel that he's using do not succeed lahoyir as darko, to illuminate his path, to cause his life to be filled with this or of avodas Hashem. V'lishoyv ayedei kli shavur zeh, he's trying to draw light with a broken kli. The seichel is a broken, damaged kli. The mind, the intellect, with all of its limitations, with its quirks, and with its mistakes, it's a broken kli. It's filled. The mind is filled with cracks, and the person is trying to draw a Yiddishkeit from his mind that is filled with cracks. V'lishayv ayidei kli shavur zeh, and to try to draw with this broken kli, mimayan hazarim v'achai, from the flowing and living wellspring, shel or Hashem, of the light of God, v'ilamo b'siroso, liyapsa koyach, doesn't have the strength. It can't hold such light. That's why I've often mentioned, and I've seen this so many times, that there are people who, when under normal circumstances and Baruch Hashem and life is going well, so any time that you tell them a vart, let's say a chassidish avart, or they hear something, a Torah from the tzaddikim, they wave it off as being, you know, this is, come on, this is whatever, this is not concrete, this is not real, this is fluff, this is cotton candy, and all the other negative lashonis that are being used for Divrei Elokim Chayim. And it's so interesting how Bishas Maisa, God forbid, when that person is going through a tzara, someone that they love has passed away, or there's a loss of panos, or there's problems with shalom bayis, or with the children, whatever the tzara is, lo aleinu, then when the person is going through a tzara, it's remarkable how if you say to the person, you seem to have been fine with your intellect all of these years, what's wrong? Just look it up in the Rambam. Whatever you're going through, just why don't you just check out the Rambam and you'll be fine. Of course, that's not, at that time of his life, that's not an answer. Because the mind, not the Rambam, Chasrom, the Rambam is holy and pure. But the mind of a person, the intellect, is a broken kli. It's a brachan akeli. It's such a brachan akeli. And it's so limited. It's so limited. And because of that, when a person needs to tap into something which is infinite, when he needs to find simcha, when everything in his life is falling apart, so then all of those, all of what he considered to be, all of those exciting, intellectually stimulating thoughts and concepts, don't bring him back to a place of simcha sechai. Unless he's able to connect to that zerem, to that shetaf achayim, to that flow, that current of emuna, of big emuna. If he's trying to draw light in a broken kli, milishayv aydei kli shover zem imayin hazerem v'achay shalor Hashem v'aylamu b'sarosol yatzah kayach. It doesn't work. On a regular day, he felt satisfied with the Yiddishkeit that he was leaving, which was a Yiddishkeit of tzav letzav, kav lekav, peace, 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 another peace, and trying with his seichel hamugbal to connect the dots with all kinds of pshetlach and explanations and so on, but never really, really finding himself in something higher than the olam ha'chaima, the physical world, and with all of his intellectual meanderings still being a huge bal taiva, and still being lost in all kinds of yetzaharlach and taivas, and all of his intellectual conceptual journeys haven't succeeded in taking him out of the same taivas that he's been in for the last 30, 40, 50 years of his life. The mind is a kli shavritz, it's a rachna kli. Baal Kain. So therefore, Hailachasi Arishal Tshuva. Now when Rav Kook says those words, Arishal Tshuva, he means the entire Sefer, Arishal Tshuva. Hailachasi Arishal Tshuva. Therefore the light of Tshuva moves on. Umafana Derech La'am. And clears a path for the nation. The Irish Al-Tshuva. V'kaira b'kayach losha v'l-Hashem. And the light of Tshuva is calling out with all of its strength, losha v'l-Hashem, to return to that ocean, to that be'em ha'im chayim, to the mayin ha'chayim, to the living well of Ein Sof Baruch Hu. Lishmoy b'koylai. What does it mean, lishmoy b'koylai? To hear Hashem's voice. I don't think anybody here would be able to say. I mean, everybody has their own answer, that we were zoichet to hear the voice of Hashem. It's in this week's parasha. It's all over the place. Every second pasuk in Sefer Devarim is lishmoy b'koylai. So what does it mean when you say to a halachist to hear God's voice? Some of you must be halachists, or maybe you're not, or else you would feel uncomfortable here. I don't mean observe the world, Baruch Hashem, Shem Eterim, I don't mean, God forbid, I don't mean to say we're not keeping halacha, that's not what I mean. Halachists, yeah, I think you understand it. So if any of the no halachists out here, what does it mean, l'shmar b'koylai? Also, if you're not, okay, you're embarrassed because I made a... The question's open to everybody, not just the halachas. What does it mean, l'shmar b'karlai? What does it mean to hear God's voice? I never heard God's voice. I if anybody here says they heard God's voice, it means they sang the baskol and the vias. I heard God's voice. So what does it mean to hear God's voice? No? Yemi, what does it mean to hear God's voice? The simple pshat, that's exactly what the Maharshim say. The pshat in hearing God's voice is to be obedient. Meaning, it's not to hear a voice. If you hear a voice, you're meshigah. It means that you're observant. Like a parent says, listen to me. Listen to my voice. Listen to what I'm telling you. Just do what I tell you. I mean, so we don't hear any sounds. Just listen to what the Baruch Shalom tells us. How do we know what he told us? He says in Chumash, and it says in Shas and Shulchan Aruch, and we try to do what God is telling us. That means to listen. So listening means to obey. So hearing God's voice means to obey. That is the response of the halachist. So what happens to the halachist if he's in a situation and he's hearing his own voice very, very strongly, and he's not hearing Hashem's voice? Meaning he has a certain yetzahara, a certain taiva, and he's hearing something inside, do this, do this, do this, you have to do this. So if he's a gibor, right, he'll be mezgaber, and he'll try to hear Hashem's voice somehow coming into his head, telling him, no, you can't do that, don't do that. It's also, it's a deraisa, it's a chiyukareis, chas v'shalom, it's malchus, it's a lav sheyesh b'mayis, it's a ein b'mayis, it's a lav shebechlolus, whatever it is. And he'll try to be misgavim. And if that particular day he was strong and he was connected to the resources of his strength, so then there's a shavli misgavim, and he'll go on. And he will not fail, and he'll overcome that yetzara, and he will be obedient and listen to God's voice. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. I think we could all testify to that. Every one of us can say. Sometimes that works, sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes your voice drowns out God's voice, right? And what you want is so loud that you can't hear. And you end up, God forbid, we've all failed, we end up doing something we shouldn't do. And then afterwards you hear God saying, oh, you're a schlechter, oh, you're a bad boy, you're a bad boy. Then that's always very loud. But b'shas ma'isa, our voice is stronger than God's voice. All of that is katnas emunah. All of that is small emunah. But the Svarim HaKadoshim say, to hear God's voice is like when the Chafetz Chaim once told you ma'isa, when the Chafetz Chaim slew Yelenu. The Bocher that was watching the Chafetz Chaim that night. When the Chafetz Chaim was old, so the Bochum that were assigned different Bocher to watch the Chafetz Chaim to make sure he was okay. So it was at night, and it was a very, very stormy night, and thunder and lightning and everything. And the Chafetz Chaim was in his room, and the Bocher was looking in every now and then to see if everything was okay. And there was some. And the Bacher heard there was some rustling and some noise coming from the Chavetz Chaim's room. And he peeked in to see if everything was okay, and he saw that the Chavetz Chaim was standing by the window and was looking at the lightning and listening to the thunder. He was standing by the window of Chavetz Chaim, really at this point very old. And he kept on repeating, the Bacher heard him saying, the Chavetz Chaim saying, Vos vil der Tate. What does my father want? What does my father want? What does that mean? What does my father want? Well, the Gemara says that Ra'omim, thunder, was created to straighten out the akmumiyas, the crookedness of the heart. That the person, when you hear thunder, it shakes you out of a certain kind of a complacency, and you start to think that there's a balabos, there's a banishla. The Chafetz Chaim was listening all the time to hear what God was saying, not just in the old svarim, not just in the Shulchan Aruch. Not just to see Mutter, Oser, Chayev, Potter, not just to see what's the din. Of course, Chafetz Chaim lived every second with Halacha. But he was listening, Vos vil der Tate? What is my father saying to me now? When it says in Pasuk, Lishmoy b'kolai, v'hazanta, to listen, to pay attention, it doesn't only mean to the Halacha. It means to the tone of God's voice. It means to live every second of your life with that question, Vos vil betate? What does my father want now? Is this going to give him nachas ruach? So the halacha says, let's say it's mutter. So the halacha says that this thing is mutter. Strictly speaking, whatever this is, it's mutter. But Vos vil betate? Is this something that, am I, even though it says mutter, am I hearing Hashem's voice? And Hashem told Bilam, you can go do that too, you know? Hashem told Bilam, you want to go, go. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Hashem told Bilam, you want to go with Balak, you want the job, so go. And then afterwards he gets a whole Mishabarach. So Bilam's taina is what? You told me I can go. You told me it's mutter. So what do you have a taina now? You told me it's mutter. What do you... Now you're telling me, now you're upset with me? You told me I can go with Balak to curse them. You told me I can go. So what does the Baruch Shalom say? A parent knows what this feels like. When the kid annoys you enough, and you might say to the kid, or the kid is, whatever it is, you said to the kid, okay, you could do it. And the kid says, shkai. And the kid does it. And then afterwards the kid comes back, you say, I can't believe you did that. He said, but you told me I could do it. Lishmaya Bakala means you heard what I said, but you didn't hear my voice. To hear a voice is not the same thing as just hearing what the person said, hearing the words. But to hear the voice, to hear the tone. Bikailai. What's in the voice of Hashem? Vos vil detata, what does my father want? It might be mutter, it might be like this, it might be like that. But what does my father want? Does this give him nachas ruach? The tzaddikim, that's what Amchal Yil explains as the meaning of chassidus. If you look in Mesil Sham, that's the meaning of chassidus. That's what chassidus is. V'hazamta l'mitzvayso. Listen to Hashem's mitzvahs. Listen. It doesn't just mean to obey. The halachist here is obey. So then his mind is constantly at work trying to understand. Is this thing mutter? Is it also to look up and to ask people, which is a very, very chashuv thing. And we have to keep halacha all the time. But Rav Kook says over here, Al ken halacha si oirish al tshuva u'mefana darach lam v'kar b'karach lo shuva l'ashem. And the sound of tshuva, the light of tshuva rather, is calling out. It's calling out to us with great strength to return to Hashem. L'shmoye b'karlo. L'shmoye b'karlo doesn't just mean to do what God says. To do what God says. And when you hear what Hashem says, let's say you look up the din, and it says in Shulchan Aruch that you can't do this. That's what you're thinking of doing, you can't do it. Let's say you prepared some dish, and it came out, something spilled in, and you find out the halacha, and the halacha says, you look up in the book, or you ask a shot, and says, Asa, you can't do it. It's Asa, you can't eat this. You prepare the whole thing for 12 people, 15 people, you prepare the whole thing, and what? Asa. So the halacha says that it's Asa. But a person who is exposed to the Orishal Tshuva, and hears Hashem's voice, hears a different thing. Of course it's awesome, but here's the Baruch Hashem says, my entire kind, my precious child, you know how much I want you to enjoy this food? You have no idea how much I want you to enjoy it. You know, I want you to be happy. I created you that you should have nachas and you should be happy. But this food, if you eat it, it's not going to be good for you. It's not going to be good for you. And I love you so much, I don't want anything to come that could harm you in your life. I don't want anything to harm you because I love you so much. Comes out the same maskana as you throw the food at, or whatever you have to do with it. It's the same maskana. The maskana is you're not eating the food. The difference is that the first person, the halachist, heard the voice of God saying, don't eat it. The second person heard, also, you can't eat this. But, and it comes with the listening, Bikol Hashem. Bikol Hashem. If a person stops sometimes when they're when they're surfing on the computer, and they stop at some point, and you just stop and say, Vos vil de tata. Don't ask, where in halacha does it say, I read a whole thing that you could do this, you could look at that, you can't look at this. Just stop and say, Vos vil de tata. What does my father, what does he expect of me? Am I hearing his voice, or am I just trying to be obedient to his voice? There's such a difference between a Jew who hears Hashem's voice and a person who's just trying to obey God's voice. When you hear God's voice, this it's a whole different Yiddishkeit. Comes out the same in halacha, but it's a different Yiddishkeit. It's a different tour of a person. Again, it's, as I said last week, and I'm sorry, something it's can't be explained. I can't explain this. You see that in the family. You see in a family where the children obey the parents, the difference between children who are obeying the parents and children who are hearing the parents. It's a very big difference. The parents who are being obeyed will find themselves constantly screaming things like, you're not doing what I told you. You're not doing what I told you. How come you're not doing what I told you? In the home where the children are hearing the parents don't even have to even tell the kid. Because all the kid wants to do is to please his parents. He just wants his parents to be happy. He wants to get nachas ruach with his parents. And the parents are not standing around screaming the whole day, you're not obeying me, you're not obeying me. This is the psak, I paskin. Because all the kid ever heard is Yepiske Halachas. He never heard whose fault that is. It could be a lot of times it's the kid's fault. Not after the parents' fault. I'm not getting into that sugya. Whose fault it is. Could be the kids. You have kids now that you meet more and more kids now that they're just totally nuts. They're crazy. It's totally crazy. I mean, people like to blame everything on the parents, but you have kids that are totally crazy. That's even before they started taking drugs. They're just totally crazy. They're getting strange readings or something. Something funny things are coming out in their computer. So I'm not saying it's not the parents' fault, not the kids' fault. But when there's a home where the children are not hearing the parents, and the parents are screaming for obedience, and the kids are trying to constantly figure out ways how to get past or get under the radar without getting caught. A child that hears his father or hears his mother could be standing someplace on a mountain in Manchuria, and he's got his iPhone there. And he won't go to the wrong place on his iPhone. A person who's living a life of the halachist life of obedience, to get him at a bad moment, and he's far enough away, and he thinks he's not going to get caught, or it's just too strong a taiva, what are you going to do? The voice of the person, of the taiva, can drown out the sound of Hashem, the sound of his parents. Chazal tell us that when Hashem first spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, it sounded to Moshe Rabbeinu like it was his father Amram talking to him. What does that mean? We don't imagine God to talk that way. He said, how Hashem talks. Moshe Rabbeinu heard the sound of Hashem. He heard the sound of Amram, of his father. That's the sound of Vos vil de tata. What does my father want? What will make my father happy? Not like you hear when you call on the phone and there's no one there and it says, gives a whole long thing. It goes on for like a minute and a half to take money from people. It goes for a long thing about how if you do this and this, and if not, then you can, whatever, it gives instructions. A mechanical, computerized voice. Moshe when he heard Hashem, heard his father when he heard Hashem. When Shmuel Navi, when Hashem was speaking to Shmuel Navi, he thought that it was Eli HaKohen, the one who raised him. He thought that it was also like his father. He thought it was Eli HaKohen. How does one get mixed up? How do you confuse those voices? The Torah says it's not a sound, like a regular sound. the Shmaya de Kailai. The Leches Bedrachav. Ladovka, but it wasn't Leleches Bedrachav, to go on Hashem's ways. Okay, so the Rishonim, Chazal, the Rishonim explained this, Mahu, just like Hashem is, so you should be Leleches Bedrachav. Hashem visits the sick, we should visit the sick. See, these are things that it's not clear, black and white. Leleches Bedrachav. Leleches Bedrachav. Nowadays, how do you know, how do you identify if the kid is Hoylech Bedarche Aviv? How do we tell if the kid is Hoylech Bedarche Aviv? If the father wears a Bekesha and the kid wears a Bekesha, it means that the kid is Hoylech Bedarche Aviv. The father has short hair. The father cuts his hair short. The kid cuts his hair short. It goes a little paisla. So it means he's Hoylech Bedarche Aviv. What that kid is up to? There could be light years between the father and the kid, but everybody says, such a beautiful family. Look at that. Everybody in the family wears bekishes. It's unbelievable. Large, medium, small. Terrific. Everybody wears bekishes. Everybody has payas. It's a beautiful family. This kid could be so far, he could be so far from his father, that it's Shemayim and Aretz from him and his father. How his father thinks, what his father believes, and what his father, even what his father does. But we're living in a door of such shidchis, of such shallowness, that if it looks on the surface like everything is the same, then we say, he's hoylech bedarche aviv. That's not what it means to go on your father's path. It means that you understand what your father really, what's important to your father. You try to live up to the essence of who your father is, not to wear the clothing that he wore. That's nice too, I'm not against that. I'm not chas v'shalom, I'm not making fun of that. But that's not what it means, aleches bedrachav. Leches Bedrachav means that you understand. You try to understand. Vos vil da tata? What does my father really want? What's most important to my father? The coat that I'm wearing, or the heart inside of me that's beating? What's more important to my father? What does it mean, the derech of my father? These are the most basic things in Yiddishkeit, and the most basic things you can't find in the Mishnah Berurah. Where are you going to look that up? It's not in the Mishnah Berurah, and you can't Google it either. If you live like the Chofetz Chaim lived in that way. That's the whole Indian of Lag BaOmer. And the Shaykh is the Klai Yisrael has the Kesh, the Klai Yisrael has the Lag BaOmer to Rabbi Shimon without going into this. As Rabbi Shimon unleashed into our lives this current of Yiddishkeit. Without Rabbi Shimon, our entire Yiddishkeit would be osa muta. Yes, no. Obedience. Obey, disobey. And Rabbi Shimon, Shom Tziva Hashem is Abraha Chayim Ad Olam, the last words that Rabbi Shimon said. Shom Tziva Hashem is Abraha Chayim. A Yiddishkeit that's v'chayim, that's alive. Vos vil de tata, what does my father want? Everything, when you learn the Zohar Kaddish, when you look every word in the Zohar Kaddish, every sentence in the Zohar Kaddish is filled with this aura that Rav Kook is talking about, with the Shat of Achayim, a Yiddishkeit that's alive. And everybody runs to Miron, and if they can't get to Miron, they run to Rabbi Shimon because they want to have a Shaychus, Bayachai. Bayachai, alive. Rabbi Shimon said that it's not enough. Yiddishkeit is not just about rules, about being obedient or disobedient. Yiddishkeit is about hearing the tone in God's voice. Sometimes you'll hear things that come out from people who are learned, and you shake your head, and you say, well, maybe I'm crazy. But they say, how did this come to such a maskana? And sometimes the teretz is that you are crazy. But many times that's not the teretz. The teretz is that person might be a learned person, but he's not connected to the voice of Hashem. Every word that came out from Chofetz Chaim, every word that came out from Moshe Feinstein, from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, from these tzaddikim, whichever, I'm not, but the words that came, wasn't only a question of mutter and aser. It was filled with Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is the Indian of Lag BaOmer There are no halachas of Lag Ba'Omer. You don't say Tachna, that's a big simcha. But there are no halachas Lag Ba'Omer. Lag Ba'Omer Jews light fires. It's an Indian, but Klai Yisrael does this. And there's a big Asik in Eretz Yisrael, because it's much more connected to Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is the place of Nevuah, or Chutz La'aretz is very dark. But the fire means that a person is trying to have some sort of a connection to that shetet, to that current, that fire of Rabbi Shimon. And the person is saying, Baruch Shalom, I observe your commandments, I try to be an obedient, I'm an obedient child, I'm an obedient son or daughter, but I just don't get it. I don't hear you. I don't know what if my life, I don't know what if I'm doing is pleasing to you. Are you pleased with me? Are you tzefidin with me? Are you happy with me? It doesn't mean if I did what's mutter, then Hashem is pleased with me. Lav davka. Hashem told Bilam, go do what you like. And then Hashem was upset with him. Because Hashem was saying to Bilam, Russia, you didn't really listen to me. So Bilam says, I heard exactly what you told me. You told me mutter. So Hashem says, you didn't listen to me. You didn't listen to me. Only with this great and powerful strength can the nation rise up again. Can we live? To be alive and to get up again. All the arguments about Issa and Heta and not to be alive, but not being alive. There's so many examples, but it's not good to say negative things. But there's so many examples of things that are going on that have become questions of dollars and cents, mutter also. But what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? What is the Ratzon Hashem? What's the tone of his voice? What's the tone of his voice? There's a friend of mine at Israel that told me that Vaseichel Haragil v'chol kishreinai. The seichel in its usual way. The kol kishreinu, with all the kaiches of the seichel. The seichel, person, some people have minds that are very, very powerful, very strong. By seichel arogu, the kol kishreinu yeshamish hogun. So what's the purpose of the seichel? The seichel of Rav Kook is, now Rav Kook was a very smart person. He was a genius of geniuses. So, nobody could accuse Rav Kook of not caring about intellect, and not caring about intelligence. And when you look at his halacha svarim, they're astonishing in their brilliance. In the regular way that svarim are written by Gedolei Yisrael. And yet, in Rav Kook's world, what he's saying here is that the seichel, sof kol sof, the seichel is secondary. It's not the ikkar of the person. Haseichel aragel, the whole kishreinu, the seichel, with all of its kishreinus, with all of its talent, all of its greatness, yesh shamish hogun, should be a good shamish. You know what means a shamish? A shamish, a servant. Should be a good shamish. Lazer ezer ma'at, is Ruach HaChayim, HaPoim B'Meloi HaNeshama. Should be a good shamish to help a little bit the Ruach of life that is beating in the fullness of the soul. A shamish. The seichel is a shamish. Not the end, not the tachlis. It's a shamish. To clarify. You have to understand. mutter aser. You have to understand that that's not the ikker. The ikker is the shat of a chayim. The cycles are shamas. And if the daven should be a good shamas. And if a person's cycle is not so clear and he doesn't know, so then he asks somebody that has a better shamas. Holkishni yeshamish hogun lazer ezem at as ruach haim apayim b'layin b'mleihan neshama b'shvil asignayin v'hatayu shal ezem dvarim protim. In order to, the seichel is needed to be able to figure out the particular signan, the style and the type of this particular prat, this detail of Yiddishkeit. Of course, we need the seichel to be a shamish to instruct us of how to conduct us, live in that particular prat. And what exactly what's the requirement in halacha? Avi yisoid hakol, however, the foundation of everything. Avi yisoid hakol, ma'bua hachayim, the wellspring of life. How are you ruach elokim shebelev? That's the Ruach Elokim Shebelev. The Ruach Elokim Shebelev. Hachai, next page, Samach Vav. Hachai b'toich yusa shel haneshama. That is alive b'toich yusa shel haneshama. Inside the neshama. Hamolei oyiz v'sa'atzumais, that is filled with strength and power. Asher lo yitein domi loy ad yechoynei v'ad yosim es Yerushalayim tehila ba'aretz. And the neshama will not be silent until Yerushalayim will be established as the glory of the world. What does he end over here with Yerushalayim? Not, it's always a nice way to end. But what is he ending here with Yerushalayim? Ad yechoynin v'ad yosim is Yerushalayim tehila ba'aretz. Shalitin domiloi. What are you saying, Aviezer?
That's the whole Torah. It's the pulse. It's the tone. Yerushalayim is the pulse of the world.
Yerushalayim. Yeah. Yerushalayim is the neshama of Klal Yisrael. Some months ago, we were talking about the need of Yisrael B'Teiris. I was talking about the walls of Yerushalayim, Chitzonius and Pnimius. Chitzonius are life and Pnimius are life. Yerushalayim. Ashal yitein dom miloi ad yechonev ad yosim es Yerushalayim tihila ba'aretz. That aura of tshuva, the light of tshuva, and the voice of Hashem can be heard most clearly in Yerushalayim. There's a lot of noise that's drowning, trying to drown out that clear voice of Hashem. But the neshama, the pnimius of Klal Yisrael, is Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim, as the Kuzri writes about, Chazal tell us, is the heart of the world. That's why it's particularly painful when there's heartache in Yerushalayim. It's painful when it's anywhere, but particularly when Yerushalayim itself, when the Jews of Yerushalayim, the people of Yerushalayim, become caught up in smallness. But the end is Ad Ashalitein Domi Loi Ad Yechonin Vad Yosim Is Yerushalayim Tehila Ba'aretz. That the neshama will not be silent until Yerushalayim is revived, until Yerushalayim is rebuilt. And the rebuilding of Yerushalayim means what Yerushalayim really is, and what we're supposed to be. Yerushalayim is a place that's different from every other place in the world. Again, it's not something that could be explained, and it's not something that you're necessarily going to feel when you're Erev Shabbos and Geula standing in line to get a piece of kugel. But when it's quiet and you're in a quiet place in Yerushalayim, and you have a little bit of Yeshiva Das, so then you're able to hear Hashem speak to you in a way that He doesn't normally, or in a way that you don't normally hear. Hashem's speaking to us all the time, but we don't normally hear Him in such a way. And that's what the Navi said, Dabru Alev Yerushalayim. Dabru Alev Yerushalayim V'kiru Eileha. Nachmu Nachmu Ami, Dabru Alev Yerushalayim. It doesn't say Dabru Alev New York, Dabru Alev London. It doesn't say Dabru Alev Tel Aviv V'Yafo either. Dabru Alev Yerushalayim V'kiru Eileha. To speak to the heart of Yerushalayim. And call out to Yerushalayim. It's from that place where a person whose heart is still alive can hear Hashem in a very clear way. The greatest longing that we have for Yerushalayim is not the result of politics or nationalism or Zionism or whatever else, any other political movement. What secular people are looking for, people who are not connected to what Yerushalayim really is. So for a Jew who's Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, Yerushalayim means a place where I can finally not only obey God but can hear God. And all Nevuahs come from that place. Ki Mitzion Teitzei Sarah Devar Hashem Yerushalayim. Wherever the Navi is, the Nevuah can only come by way of Yerushalayim. Even our Tefillahs have to come by way of Yerushalayim. And our Tefillahs go by way of Yerushalayim in heaven. So when Davke in Yerushalayim, there are Jews who are living good lives of obedience to Hashem, but they're not hearing Hashem's voice, that's particularly painful. You have many, of course, who are very, very great and holy people, and all Jews are great and holy, and they try to keep the mitzvahs, but they hear Hashem's voice. In Yerushalayim, it's easier. Ashalita in Domilai ad Yechainin v'ad Yosim is Yerushalayim Tehillah v'Aretz. That's why Rabbi Shimon's name is Tehir. Shimon Bar Yochai. When a person is listening, then he's a Bar Yochai, then he's a Ben Chai, then he's a Labedike. If he's able to hear Be'emes and Panimias, then he's alive. Or else the Yiddishkeit is just a schlep. A person can live in Yerushalayim, but he's really in Chutz La'aretz. A person can live in Chutz La'aretz and he's really in Yerushalayim, like this Rambam said. But the Baal Shem said that a person, of course, is where his thoughts, where his machshavos are. So a person can be in Meiron, and he's very far from Meiron. He's very far from Rabbi Shimon. And a person can be living on the other side of the world, and he's a Kodesh HaKadosh, Mamish. Standing right by Rabbi Shimon. It's just it's a matter of what a person is listening to and how a person is hearing. Now, Hashem's Baruch should help us that we should be Jews that are not only obeying, that's a chokhmah too, and we should be good boys and girls and to obey Hashem and to do everything we have to do, but we should be zeichah not just to obey but to hear. And in that schus, Hashem will listen to all of our tefillahs and will be zeichah to Hashem to be able to come back to that place of seeing and hearing with the Gula Shagamitis, may have you amen.
Amen.